Okay, once again, we'd like to turn to Psalm 119. We're looking at verses 161 through verse 168. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. This stanza opens with a statement regarding the circumstances of the psalmist, and as we see as we go through this 119th psalm, his circumstance was one of adversity, one of persecution. And he begins by simply saying princes, or those in authority, have persecuted me. That is, they have oppressed him, and they have done so without a cause. In other words, what they were doing was unjust. What they were doing was unreasonable and unfair treatment. And then in the rest of the stanza, the psalmist boldly speaks of his attitude and behavior toward the Word of God. The fact is, there are going to be times when we are going to be treated unfairly, and there's really nothing you can do about that. Can't be prevented. It's going to happen. However, there is, of course, something that you do control, and that is how you react to such things. And we see this throughout this 119th psalm, that the psalmist reacted. He had a certain attitude and a certain behavior toward the Word of God. And no matter what happens in our life, whether we're treated unfairly or adverse circumstances come our way, or whatever, the important thing is where does God's Word fit in? That is, where is God's Word in our life? And that's going to determine much as far as how we deal with whatever the situation is. So we want to look at his attitude toward God's word during this time. Immediately after mentioning princes have persecuted me without a cause, he says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. My heart, that is, my innermost being, standeth. That is, it is established. My heart is established. My heart is stationed in awe of thy word. I want you to notice that he did not say that he was in awe of the princes that persecuted him. He did not say that he was in awe of the circumstances that he was dealing with at the time. But he said, my heart standeth or is established in awe of thy word. That is, again, that word standeth shows that even though the rulers, who should have known better, even though the rulers mistreated him fairly, they could not shake his attitude toward the Word of God. He was established. He was stationed in awe. Now that word awe, of course, speaks of his wonder. It means that in spite of his circumstances, in spite of what the princes were doing, his heart was established in just wonder of God's word, in the marvel and the amazement of God's word. That is, wonder and marvel and amazement filled his heart when he thought upon the word of God. This is the mistake. This is one of the devil's oldest ploys, and very successful, is when the princes persecute us or whatever the circumstance is, we focus entirely on that and we disregard God's word. We disregard God's word. I've dealt with people who do not even want to hear God's word when adverse circumstances are occurring. You can't be helped. I mean, you really can't. And we see here that he's not focusing on the prince. It's not that he didn't realize what they were doing. It's not that he ignored it and was oblivious to it and was ignorant. But he focused upon the word of God. And he says, my heart is established in reverence for the word of God. I have a regard for the word of God. So my point is, his circumstances, and they were unfair circumstances, did not curtail his attitude toward God's word, which was an attitude of awe. Now this attitude of awe includes a contrite spirit. Notice in Isaiah chapter 66, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. And his God has done amazing things. And he is doing amazing things, just holding everything in order. But God always has time to still look toward a certain people. He says, but to this man, that is, in spite of everything I have to do, to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite. And the word poor there is not talking materially. I'm talking about humility. That is poor, of a contrite or broken spirit, and trembleth at my word. And trembleth at my word. That's awe. To tremble at the word of God. Every time we open it, there should be some trembling because of what we're dealing with, what it is that we're handling. The word of God. We're not talking about the word of men. And we're not talking about if you misrepresent it in any way. This is the word of God. And just reading it ought to cause great awe. That we're allowed to read it should cause us great awe. That we're allowed to even own a copy of the Word of God ought to greatly humble us. But in the midst of adverse circumstances, we need to maintain our awe for God's Word. Someone treats you unfairly, the best thing you can do is go to the Word of God. Read it. Study it. Oh, you can go home. You can get under the juniper tree and you can sit there for a week. And you can think about it, and you can fume, and it hasn't helped you one iota. Or you can just open God's Word and just read. So we need to maintain an awe of God's Word. We see also that he rejoiced in the Word of God. God's Word caused his heart to rejoice. In verse 162, he says, I rejoice at thy Word. Again, this is in the context of princes have persecuted me without a cause. In that context, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Now, I believe that this is the direct result of being in awe of God's word. Being in awe of God's word leads to a rejoicing in God's word. And when he says, I rejoice at thy word, he's saying, even though princes have persecuted me without a cause, I'm excited about the word of God. When you lose your excitement for the word of God, you have already backslidden a long way. When the excitement is no longer there. Now that's true, whether it be reading the Word of God, that shouldn't be a chore. It's very troubling to me when people say, well, I find it difficult to study or read the Word of God. That's a very troubling statement to me. Because it shouldn't be a chore. And if it is a chore, it's because hearts are not right. It should be exciting. Now I realize the devil's going to work against us. I realize that. But there ought to be an excitement. There ought to be an excitement in hearing the Word of God. I mean, just on our way to the house of God, we ought to be getting excited. I am going to get to hear the Word of God today. Most people aren't. The majority of the population does not hear the Word of God. It ought to excite us. And the closer we get to that time, we ought to, the excitement ought to be building. I mean, Saturday ought to be a day of great anticipation and excitement. We must not allow circumstances to curtail our enthusiasm for God's Word. And again, if circumstances curtail our enthusiasm, it is because, and many don't like this, it is because we have allowed it. It is something that we allow. If circumstances curtail our awe for God's word, it's because we allowed it to happen. If something happens and that zaps our enthusiasm for God's word, it's because we allowed it to happen. And we continue to allow it to happen. So in the midst of adverse circumstances or favorable circumstances, doesn't matter, we need to continue to rejoice in God's word. But the foundation of that rejoicing, the foundation of that rejoicing is being in awe of God's word. So the problem is not, I do not rejoice in God's word. That is a symptom. That is a symptom of the real problem, which is you are not in awe of God's word. Because if you're in awe of God's word, you will also rejoice in God's word. Now, I realize that symptoms, of course, can be problematic and are. But just dealing with symptoms, as we say all the time, isn't going to fix it. That's not going to fix your situation. You've got to get to the root of the problem. And the root of the problem here is, would be a lack of awe for God's word. So In the context of princes have persecuted me without a cause, he maintained an awe for God's word. And he continued to rejoice in God's word. And then in verse 163, he says, I hate and abhor lying. Now, I believe that is in direct reference to princes have persecuted me without a cause. And it says something about the type of persecution he was dealing with. He was dealing with the persecution of slander. They were lying. They were lying about him. And he says, I hate and I abhor lying. I hate and I abhor what they are doing to me. But he didn't get stuck there. See, it's easy. It's easy to get stuck there. Somebody treats you unfairly. Somebody says something about you that just is not true. And you can hate and you can abhor what they've done, but you better not get stuck there. Because if you do, you're ruined spiritually. You're going down the tube spiritually. But he didn't get stuck there. Again, we see the word of God, but thy law do I love. So if someone is lying about us, why not go to the book that tells us the truth? And he says, thy law do I love. No matter what the princes did, no matter how unjust, no matter how unfair they were, he says, it did not diminish my love for God's word. And why did he love it? Well, I believe he loved it because of what it is. He loved it because it's God's word. You don't need any other reason. I love God's word because it makes me feel a certain way. Well, what happens when that feeling's gone? Then what? No, we ought to love God's word because it's God's word. Simply because it's God's word. You see, that doesn't change. Our feelings change. But that doesn't change. It's God's word. And because it's God's word, I love it. Thy law, or thy word, do I love. And again, it all goes back to the fact that he was in awe of God's word. You cannot separate these two. Where there's one, there will be the other. Where there is an awe of God's word, there will be a love for God's word. And then in verse 164, what Brother Terry just spoke about, seven times a day, which seven's a number of completion, number of perfection. He's not saying I literally seven times a day, but he did this all day long. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now keep that in the context of verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. And then he talks about God's righteous judgments. So where's his focus? Is his focus upon the unfair and the unjust treatment that he was receiving from the princes? No, that's not where his focus was. His focus was upon the righteous judgments of God, which of course are declared in his word. So in spite of unjust, in spite of unreasonable and unfair treatment that he received from his enemies, and in spite of all their lying ways, his circumstances did not prevent the word of God from inspiring him, inspiring praise within his heart. It's pretty hard. If you have a right attitude toward God's word, and you stay in God's word, and by that I don't mean you read it all day long, but it's in your heart, and you think about it, and it's constantly there, you're going to have a difficult time not praising him. If God's word is there. Again, God's word's our foundation. And you mistreat God's word. or you neglect God's word, nothing's going to be right. Nothing's going to be right. So we see here God's word inspired praise. You know, people, God tells us that we are to rejoice in all things. And I think a lot of people have misunderstood what that means. That doesn't mean that if somebody lies about you, has the context here, that you have to be happy about them lying about you. That's not what that means. David said, I hate it. I abhor it. But what it means is, in that circumstance, there is a reason to rejoice. And that reason is God. That reason is God's word. And therefore, no matter what the circumstance, you can rejoice. Depends what you're focusing on. If you're focusing on the unfair treatment, you can't rejoice in that. If you're focusing upon God, you're focusing upon God's word, you can rejoice in that. So in the midst of adverse circumstances, stay in the word. And if you stay in the word, you'll find reason for praise. We see it all the time. People are in what they consider unfavorable circumstances, and many times what we consider unfavorable is anything but. But the circumstances they are in, they consider unfavorable. So what do? They disregard God's word. They absent themselves from the hearing of God's word. That's the worst thing you can do. That's the absolute worst thing you can do. It's counterproductive. So we need to stay in the word of God. We see also there was obedience. Again, the context is, princes have persecuted me without a cause. But in verse 166, he says, I've done thy commandments. Verse 167, my soul kept thy testimonies. Verse 168, I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies. The princes have persecuted me without a cause, but I remain obedient to God's word. That's our responsibility. If the princes persecute you without a cause, it's not your responsibility to fix that. It's not your responsibility to stop it. It's your responsibility to obey God's word. And no matter what our circumstances are, my responsibility is to obey God's word. There are people, they want to fix everything. You must think very highly of yourself that you have the ability to do that. There's only one who has that ability, and that's God. But they want to fix everything. But you'll be the happiest when you realize you can't fix everything. Your responsibility is to do what God says. That's your responsibility. That is your responsibility. I don't care what the circumstance is. Your responsibility is to obey God. And we will do that, we will only do that if we stay focused upon God's word. If we lose our focus upon God's word, we lose our focus upon our responsibility, which is obedience to God's word. And we've run out of time. But the point of this stanza is that, and again, it's throughout the 119th Psalm. Stay in the word. No matter what happens, stay in the word. No matter what happens, go to the word of God. Well, you don't understand. I don't feel like going to the word of God right now. Well, you do it anyway. You do it anyway. Perhaps you don't feel like it, but you do it anyway. And you keep on doing it. And you don't stop doing it. Well, I feel so awful. There's no point in me going to it because I don't get anything out of it. Go to it anyway. Just keep going. Don't stop. Because I guarantee you, if you stop, you won't get anything out of it. Then you won't. Now there's no chance of you not getting anything out of it. And we can get ourselves in a state of mind. We can get ourselves in a state where we can read God's word all day and not get one thing out of it. That's true. But you stay in it anyway. And you just keep on. And you just keep on. You don't quit. You don't neglect. You don't cast aside the word of God. And again, this is very, very foundational. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do.